and pressure here for international living. During her years in the Peace Corps, Tuohy Murdoch explored much of Central and South America. So where did she and her family decide to make their home when they finally made the move outside the U.S.? For them, Nicaragua was the place that had it all. Stunning Pacific Coast beaches, great cost of living, excellent medical facilities, and a way of life that let them relax and enjoy the natural wonders they found all around them. Tuohy's deep knowledge of legal issues throughout Latin America has made her a favorite speaker at international living conferences and seminars. And this week, we catch up with Tuohy at her home near El Tránsito, Nicaragua, on this edition of Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Tuohy Murdoch, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. It's a pleasure to talk to you, especially since I just visited you. Susan and I were just at your beautiful home in Nicaragua just last week, and I'm talking to you there now via the magic of Skype. How's the weather there at Monte Cristo?
Today is quite beautiful. Blue skies, white cloud. white clouds. But last night we had one of our tropical storms.
Really?
Probably be back again tonight. We're in the rainy season right now.
So the rainy season's starting up. But the days sound like they're just the same as they were when Susan and I were there last week. Beautiful, sunny, the surf crashing out there off the Pacific coast by El Tránsito. Tell me a little bit about the area of Nicaragua that you're in right now, Tuohy, and why you guys chose that.
Okay. Basically, we're about 1 hour west of Managua, right on the Pacific coast. And we're in a development, but it's a very, I would say, low-key development right now. There's not a lot of amenities here, just about eight homes, another few are being built right now.
Uh-huh.
And there's only a couple of families that are living here full time. Most of the families come down for a few months here and there, sometimes 6 months during the heavy winters of the north.
Right.
We're very close, about 4 kilometers from a little fishing village called El Tránsito, which is a true Pacific Coast fishing village where the fishermen go out in the evenings and their pangas and are out in the ocean all night fishing for shrimp and other kinds of fish, and they take the fish to the market in Managua in the mornings.
Yeah, it's beautiful out there. We visited El Tránsito with you. You can go in there and get fish at the little restaurants there, take a panga out. It's gorgeous territory, and it's not that far from Managua, which is where you guys do most of your shopping and business. Is that right?
That's right. About at least once a week, we go in to do grocery shopping in Managua. It's only about an hour away, and so we have the best of both worlds. We have Managua. We go in once a month. My daughter and I both go in for book club in Managua once a month, and so we have the best of both worlds. We have Managua, a large city where we can do our shopping, but we also have the quiet of being out on the coast and having the beach, to be able to walk the beach and enjoy the coast.
It is gorgeous out there. I'll want to come back to you, the topic of Nicaragua and what's going on there right now, because I know a lot of our listeners are interested in the situation and specifically the political situation there. But first, I want to get your story, Tuohy, where you came from in the States, what your background is like, and how you got offshore in the first place. How did this all begin for you?
Well, my husband and I both are native Californians, and we lived many years in California. But with my job, I'm an attorney, and I had a job working for First American Title Insurance Company. And about 18 years ago or so, I was appointed to be in charge of the Caribbean and Latin America region. And so it gave me the opportunity to really explore Latin America. I had already had a great love for Latin America because I'd been in the Peace Corps in the late 60s.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Where were you stationed then?
In Colombia. I was in Colombia, and I was there for 2 years. And basically, our intent was always to go back to Latin America when we retired. That was always our dream. And we explored various places. But with my new job at First American, I really had the opportunity to go to lots of different countries, which I had seen in the late 60s, but I hadn't seen recently.
Right.
And so during that process of doing due diligence to figure out if we could do title insurance in these countries, I explored a lot of different Latin American and Caribbean countries and finally realized that I felt most comfortable in Nicaragua.
And that brings us right to why you feel comfortable there. Susan and I spent about 6 months living there, actually south of you, in San Juan del Sur, when Daniel Ortega got reelected to the presidency there. And that's been, what, five, 6 years ago now?
Yeah, 5 years ago or so, because he's running again. The elections are going to be held in November of this year.
Right.
And it's a five-year term. So it was 5 years ago that he got elected. Of course, everyone was quite surprised that he got reelected. He'd been president in the 80s.
Right.
And everyone was quite surprised and were a little apprehensive, I would say, about what was going to happen to Nicaragua while he was president again. Because in the 80s, he was a very radical president. Had communist leanings and did a lot of things like confiscated property,
right,
trying to redistribute the wealth. People were quite concerned that was going to happen again. And in the last 5 years, it hasn't happened. He's actually become quite a capitalist himself, owns a lot of properties and businesses now in Nicaragua, and has done a pretty good job, I would say, of making people feel comfortable that he's not going to revert back to the 80s and confiscating land and property.
And to follow along with that, a lot of the U.S. press has been taking notice of the lack of strife in Nicaragua, the good job that they've been doing. And Susan and I noticed when we were there, many of the roads are noticeably improved in the last 5 or 6 years from when we were there before. So at least the infrastructure is benefiting from the latest political wins in Nicaragua. Tell me about what you went through when Daniel Ortega got reelected and what's happened in the last 5 years. Was there a chill in the expat community there, or did everybody just keep their heads down and hope for the best?
Well, unfortunately, Ortega was reelected just about the same time that the U.S. economy started collapsing with
right.
the bubble collapsing,
yeah.
and some of the bank failures and things. So we were sort of double hit in Nicaragua because Nicaragua had always been a favorite spot for the U.S. expats to be investing in.
Right.
So with the presidential election, along with the economic situation, things really did slow down in Nicaragua. And I would say that they haven't come completely back to where they were prior to Ortega's election, but not specifically because of him, just because of the world economy also.
Right. The world economy has not improved noticeably in the last 5 years and has probably gotten worse, right along with the U.S. economy, which brings up the fact that you can live about as cheaply in Nicaragua as you can anywhere in the Western Hemisphere, which might help you out with your bottom line if you're having trouble back in the States or in Canada. What's the cost of living like for you there, Tui, and how does it compare with what you would have been spending in the States?
Well, obviously, it's a lot cheaper here. First of all, we don't have a mortgage. We were able to afford to build our house with selling our house in the United States and then moving here and building our house. And we designed it with an architect. It's a three-generation house. We have three generations living here, so it's a family compound. And we were able to build it with the cash that we got out of the house in the United States. So we don't have a mortgage, which, of course, is a huge plus. And our expenses for food are much less than they would be in the U.S., first of all, because we can buy from the direct producers quite often if it's fruit and vegetables. And, of course, they're fresh fruits and vegetables. We don't get a lot of imported fruits and vegetables because Nicaragua is quite a garden country. Our biggest expense, and for any expat here, is electricity. Electricity is much more expensive than we're used to in the States and even in some of the other Latin countries. Although it's getting better, the government has put a big... I would say, push to develop alternative means of getting electricity
right.
And energy to consumers at a lower cost. We're doing a lot of geothermal development because of our volcanoes, and we're getting a lot of foreign aid to do that, and foreign investors coming in to do that. So I think that's going to really benefit. Electricity costs have certainly gone down since we've been here, but they're still high. But we now have a much more steady source of electricity than we did 5 years ago.
Right. It was a little spotty 5 years ago, but a lot of improvements have been made, like you say, to the natural generation of power there. And having just seen your house, I can tell you truthfully that Susan and I were both amazed at the quality of construction that you got there in Nicaragua. Your house is certainly no little cement beach shanty. You've got a magnificent place there. And as you say, it's a three-generation house. Your entire family is living there. Tell me a little bit about your family. What are you guys doing there?
Yeah, well, my husband, David, is retired and loves it. Means he can putter in the garden, go fishing. He has a kayak that he's taken up the rivers here a few times, and gets to. He was a wildlife biologist by training, so he gets to enjoy looking at the wildlife that we see off the coast and in the hills around here.
He's a great birder. He's pointed out several bird species to us that we didn't even know existed while we were there.
Exactly. He's always finding something new here, and. My son-in-law, who is Nicaraguan but lived many years in the United States before they moved back to Nicaragua, has a small vivero, we call it. It's a garden where he grows grass and plantains and trees, different fruit trees and plants, and it basically does some landscaping for some of the expats that are building in this community, as well as in the neighboring town of El Tránsito, he put the grass in their baseball stadium, their new baseball stadium.
Right.
So he does that and is into some day trading and things like that because we have great internet support here.
Which is the reason that we're able to talk like this right now. The internet has changed everything.
That's right. You can live anywhere. And then Tura has, right now she's on maternity leave because she just had her second child here in Nicaragua.
That's your daughter.
Yes, and she had both of her sons in the hospital in Managua, which is just an incredibly advanced, modern hospital that's only an hour away from us. And we were very fortunate because her last son, just born a few weeks ago, had some problems right after he was born and was in the intensive care. And we were able to see how incredible the medical service was here in Nicaragua. He's now home and very healthy.
We saw him. He's a beautiful, bouncing baby boy. And that's something that a lot of people don't know about Nicaragua, is that the medical care, especially in Managua, is really excellent, top-notch. And many people go to Managua for their regular medical care just because the services there are so good.
That's right. And most of the doctors have been trained outside of Nicaragua, Germany, United States, Britain, Canada, and then they come back to Nicaragua. So many of them speak more than Spanish, capable of communicating with any expat from anywhere.
Right.
The same thing with the dentists in Managua. We have a great dentist who spent many years practicing in the United States, he and his wife, and they speak English fluently. So you don't have to speak Spanish to be able to get the good medical and dental treatment in Nicaragua.
And, of course, all of this background that you have living offshore, living in Nicaragua, has made you an invaluable resource over the years to international living and to the people who attend our conferences. In fact, I will see you again at our upcoming Live and Invest Overseas conference in Las Vegas in your new capacity as a consultant. Tell me about what you're doing right now.
Right. Well, in January 2010, I retired from First American Title Insurance Company after being an attorney with them for about 35, 36 years. And at first, I thought I would really retire, but I found that I guess my energy level is not really sits around a lot. So people started asking me questions and asking for help and things. And I have a lot of contacts because the way I did business with First American is I worked with a lot of the real estate attorneys throughout Latin America and the Caribbean. So they started asking me questions. Could I help them? Could I give them some advice? And so with another person that used to work with me at First American, a Nicaraguan, who also is totally fluent in English, because she went to college in the United States, she and I decided we would start sort of a consulting service to help people who wanted to buy property overseas and didn't feel really comfortable with doing it on their own. And so we offer a service to the people who are buying, who already bought, but maybe they decided they want to get residency or they want to start a business of their own. We are basically a referral business. We can refer them to the right attorney, the right person that can help them get residency, the right person that can help them perhaps get a building permit or, right. or a business license, and tell them the pros and cons of doing business and doing things in these countries.
And after all of those years in the business, I can't think of anybody with more contacts and more knowledge about more areas of the actual process of buying and living offshore than you. You've been doing this for so long, Tui, and even before that, in your Peace Corps days, you lived abroad. You've been out there for a long time. If you had one piece of advice, if you could just tell somebody who's trying to wrap their minds around this offshore living thing, if you could just tell them one thing, just give them one big piece of advice, what would it be?
I think what I would say is take the step. If you think you'd like to do it, take the step. You can do it gradually. You can rent something someplace.
Right.
You and Susan certainly have done that. You know, you've stayed in different towns and you know that it can, the renting of some place, I think, is the best way to go.
Right.
But you don't know if you're going to like it or not. You don't know if you're going to like the particular community you choose unless you spend some time there. So you just have to take that step.
You get a gut feeling about it. And you can research it for years without ever going. But once you actually get your boots on the ground in a place, you get a feeling for it pretty quickly. So spending as much time there as you can and renting there until you get over that period that you feel like a tourist and start feeling like a resident, very important step.
And meet as many people who have done it where you think you want to move and talk. Ask questions. Nobody minds anybody asking questions. And ask the pros and cons. Most people will be very honest with you. And you can decide if it's a con that you can live with, because no place is perfect.
Tui, that's great advice. That really is. And you know as well as I do that as soon as you start talking to expats, they'll be more than happy to tell you the hurdles they've encountered, the things that they've overcome, the challenges that they've faced. It's, as you say, no place is 100% perfect. You just have to figure out which place is right for you. And you guys have settled on Nicaragua. Are you going to stay there for a while? Do you have any other irons in the fire? What are your future plans, Tui?
Well, right now, we think we're going to stay in Nicaragua. We love the people of Nicaragua. We feel quite at home here. We certainly have a nice home. But, you know, once those restless feet start thinking, and as you well know, it's hard for those of us who come from pioneer spirit, I guess, to stay in one place. But, you know, we always keep our ears open for new opportunities.
Tui, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, and I'll see you in Las Vegas.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.